Entertainment Weekly's list of the 101 most powerful people in show business is out. At number one, Fox CEO Robert Murdoch. And at number two, you guessed it, Frank Stallone.
And here's another segment of Frank Stallone. Who is this guy?
Welcome to, well, I was going to say to another episode of It's a Long Road, the Ramble Series podcast. That is not the case. Here's the situation. On our Ramble podcast, Dom and I, we have gotten to this rabbit hole of Frank Stallone coverage where it's become its own thing. So long story short, in a few days, I'm going to, I shouldn't really say just where just yet, but I'm going somewhere outside of Canada. It's a military posting. And I'll be there for a few months, and I'm 99% sure I'm going to have a room with internet. I'm going to bring my laptop and my other mic, and I'm going to still build a podcast with Dom and continue our shows. But it's going to be a bit of a hiccup. So this episode will drop probably sooner than later to give people that standby. Don't cancel your subscription to the Ramble podcast. More Ramble coverage is coming. But something happened in the Frank Stallone world that Dom and I, we didn't want to wait too long because Frank was a guest on the... What's it called? The three knockdown rule?
Three knockdown rule, I think it was.
Okay. It's a podcast hosted by, I believe, Mario Lopez and Steve Kim. Who that is. We all know who Mario Lopez is.
We all know who Mario Lopez is. A.C. Slater from Saved by the Bell.
Okay, so we're going to get into that show and his guests. But before we do, we should just catch up on Frank's Instagram before we get into the actual... why we're doing this bonus Frank Stallone extravaganza episode, because he had an hour long interview on that podcast, and we'll get into that, but we'll talk about how we're going to break that down. But here we go. Here's the thing. Frank was actually quiet on his Instagram.
He was.
You and I were concerned.
That. You were very concerned.
Well, I was concerned that his Instagram postings had gone down. He wasn't talking to the world, wasn't sharing his thoughts on Israel or setting prayer.
I didn't know what to do with myself, honestly, when I didn't see any Frank Stallone posts.
And I don't know if there's a correlation between our show and his posting. I'm not sure. There's been some speculation, but it turns out he did spend some time in a podcast studio doing an interview. That could have for some of his, I don't know how the two, he was only there for an hour. But anyways, but we're going to get into that. So the first video, let's just watch it. So Frank, why are we already laughing? No, we haven't hit play yet. We're already laughing. Okay, so Frank is outside. He's wearing his cowboy hat. He's wearing his shades, ear protection, and he's going to explain what he's doing. Let's check it out.
Good morning, Uncle Frank. We're here at the range getting ready for the Grand Nationals in Oklahoma, which is a lot of fun.
Okay, so...
the gun's going off, of course, to keep in line with Frank Stallone. Shooting.
That's right. So guns are going off. He's getting ready for the, what was it again? The something nationals, Grand Nationals or something?
Yeah, yeah. He's, I don't know what that Grand Nationals is exactly, but
is he going to compete
in Frank Stallone's world? Maybe.
All right.
He's dressed like he's going to compete.
A better podcaster would have Googled what that Grand National is. But if he's going to go compete in it, we wish you all the best. And he called himself Uncle Frankster. Is that?
Uncle Frank.
Uncle Frankster. Oh, man.
Grand Nationals in Oklahoma, which is a lot of fun. But it's practice. I had quite a bit of time off this year where I wasn't really able to shoot. So I'm just getting my, as they say, sea legs back. And it's also Veterans Day, which we want to give our heartfelt thanks to all who served our great land.
So you talked about getting his sea legs back. I'm in the Navy, and that's definitely a nautical term. He's neither on the ocean, nor is he sailing, but he's just saying it's been a while since he shot, so he's got to get his arm and his trigger going again. He's got to be able to shoot again.
You got to be able to shoot, Frank.
And it's very apparent the reason why he's doing this on Veterans Day. He has to be at the gun range.
Of course, there's no other place he could spend his time on Veterans Day.
It's like Frank, gun-toting, Yahoo, Second Amendment, and the veterans are soldiers, and they fight. And yeah, absolutely, but you would think, I don't know, it's almost too on the mark. Like, he should have had a quiet reflection at his home or something. But the idea that right. he's got to be in a gun range. Yeah.
He's got to show off. Is this a shoulder?
Hey, we're getting that. You haven't seen these videos yet. That's right.
I sometimes leave them spontaneous. That's right.
Dom's asking what Frank is wearing on his shoulder. Don't worry. He'll explain what that is. Just
don't forget it. If it wasn't for them, we'd be in big trouble. Let's take a pause and bless these brave souls that laid it on the line for us. And
I agree. Yes, I'm in the military and I haven't been in any combat, of course, or any true danger. And I too salute and remember those fallen and those who sacrificed their lives for our freedom. I just try not to give those speeches while at a gun range with bullets flying around.
Bullets whizzing by his head.
Can we have a moment of silence, please?
I want to know the other people that are at the gun range on Veterans Day, because they're all very Frank Stallone, like, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a great day. So I'm wearing my harness for my shoulder. This thing really works pretty good. And it's a beautiful day out. Look at that.
So he's wearing his harness to support his shoulder because he gets injured when he does these weapon shootings. He's probably got one on his wrist, too. He's got his shoulder.
There's going to be a video one day of Frank just covered in a whole thing of bands. And because every time you watch a video, he's got a new one on. His knee thing, his arm thing.
Yeah, you'll be covered like a mummy in one big bandage.
like a full body cast.
Must fire my gun.
Look at the sky. You don't even think you're in smelly Los Angeles. Or not really, but...
Another dig at his hometown. He says, look at this beautiful sky. You can barely tell we're in smelly Los Angeles, he says. It's all those darn homeless people. You know that, right? That's what he's referring to.
Definitely.
But stay blessed, stay safe.
Stay safe.
as he holds a gun at the screen, essentially, at the camera.
Oh, I love you, Frank.
Give thanks, gratitude, and your day will go good. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. No more blessing to the conflict out east, but
over that.
I think he's over that. I don't.
Yeah.
We've said this before. Our last string of videos, he only did it once out of five videos. Now we're down to, I think, zero. I think we're.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. If it's not in the news, Frank's not talking about it.
No. All right. He's got one more in his cowboy hat here.
Had a great day of shooting today and did doubles, shot my 28 gauge, had some fun. And it's always good to be with my truck.
It's always good to be with my inanimate object.
His segues are just, I don't think he quite knows what he's going to say when he goes on camera.
Definitely not. He does not prepare.
Great day for shooting. It's always great to be with my truck because I have no loved ones who want to be with me.
Frank seems lonely here. He seems lonely.
Where's Alex? I don't think Alex goes to the range.
What would, yeah, I guess he wouldn't be necessary at the range, right? He's going to start doing push-ups with him.
I think Frank does the self-film in here. Yeah, both videos of the range, I think he's been holding the camera. So he likes his truck. He said he gives some more advice here on, you'll hear.
And with my friends.
Oh, he mentioned his friends. My apologies, Frank. I'm sorry. Okay. They're not on camera, but he's with his friends.
What more can you ask for? Life doesn't have to be expensive to have a good time.
Life doesn't have to be expensive.
So ridiculous. He doesn't make connection that he's rich and he's able to have the time to go to the gun range and shoot aimlessly.
We're going to get into that when we cover some of the podcasts. We're going to get into his finances. I did a little bit of research on that. But however, life doesn't have to be expensive to have a good time. Is this the words of a starving actor, or doesn't make as much money as Sly? But I don't think anyone's ever said that per se. No, you go out and hang with your friends and family. But yeah, you're right, Frank. You're right. As he's driving a $55,000 truck, probably even more than that, actually.
And God bless you, like Roy Rogers said, may the good Lord take a liking to you. And Tennessee Ernie Ford said, we'll bless your little pea-picking heart. God bless.
Thanks, Frank. We appreciate your love and support. And yeah, all right. I wanted to say something. I don't know if I'll say it online. I probably shouldn't say it. I'll say it.
Nah. You should say it, Ryan. I think.
No, I feel bad. Look, I don't know who listens to our show. I actually don't even know who listens. But let me just share the screen really quick here. So let me share my screen and let me bring up my Instagram of Frank. Do you see it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. On his Instagram, he posted a few pictures, but one picture he did post, and I feel bad, is this beautiful portrait here. You see that?
Nice.
Yeah, it is a beautiful portrait. It's a beautiful painting. This is an old, kind of old seriousness here, and this is from John Rivoli, who's actually been on this podcast. Okay. It's a long road, and he's been on it a couple times as a guest host in previous seasons. I've interviewed him on my Rocky podcast. Great guy. Friend of the show, or hope so still. But he's also a friend of Frank's, and he painted this, Frank. And he's done a lot of wonderful paintings of Rocky and Rambo and Stallone. Mm-hmm. Incredible artist. Okay. But I think there might have been a conflict of interest, and I feel bad about that. Because ever since, I think, us having some fun with a public figure who happens to be Frank Stallone, at the end of the day, he's a public figure, and he's a celebrity more than you and I are and ever will be. But he's also friends with the painter, John. And John used to like post on my site all the time to share his paintings, but he stopped doing that. And I feel bad. And look, I get it. I'm not asking anyone to draw their lines. I think you can make fun and make light of somebody and still like them. We do that with Sly. Like, we make what we love Sly. I think that's what guys do, especially our age group. We make fun of the things that we love. I just want to say, John, if you're listening, or if any of your friends listen to the show and recognize it, I just want to say, hey, we love you. Your paintings are amazing. Check out the Icons in Art. This is a beautiful painting of Frank. I'm not going to slag this at all. And that's amazing that John did that for Frank. It's a wonderful gift. But I just feel bad because he used to always post his stuff on my Rocky page. Like, he would post his paintings, but he stopped doing it last month. I don't know if that's correlation or causation, but they just stopped. He used to do it all the time. And yeah, anyways. Okay. But there is something of note here from his Instagram that I thought was interesting. What's his last photo that he, oops, was this one here. This last photo here. I don't know why this one kills me. So he's wearing some sort of handkerchief, or what do you call it, scarf with horses on it. He's wearing his cowboy hat. He's really embracing the cowboy life lately on his
Instagram. Right. Believe he thinks he's in a Western movie.
He just wants to be in that Tombstone movie again. He talks about that Tombstone like he was Kurt Russell. Frank, you were in it for 2 minutes and you got killed.
Snubbed. Oscar snub. Oscar snub.
But he just wrote here, ride like the wind and don't write a check your ass can't cash. He says, kindness works, belligerence doesn't. Now, he spells works wrong because he puts an apostrophe there.
He actually spelled belligerence right.
I think he spelled belligerence right. I think he got that one. But he did works wrong because he put an apostrophe S, which gives you ownership to the word work. It doesn't make sense. So kindness works, no apostrophes, which is a belligerent doesn't. Now, you spell doesn't, dozenant, docent? Yeah, docent.
Smeal mainly.
And he goes, no one likes a popinjay. All right. Look at his face here. He looks like he wants to hurt somebody. Why is he saying kindness works, but he looks like he wants to kill someone?
The whole thing is a contradiction because, like, he's got that face on, like that serious tough face, but he looks absolutely ridiculous with that.
It looks like he literally pulled it off a rack or the shelf, put it on, tried it in the store. Look, oh man. Okay, all right, so that's all I wanted to share regarding his actual Instagram and the photo and the painting. So now we're getting to the folks. This is why you're listening today. This is, let's be honest, people, we're already 15 minutes. This is why we're not doing actually any of the Ramble film today. This is, again, this is the Frank Stallone bonus extravaganza episode. This is something just to whet your appetite while I'm on travels and reestablish myself in a new country for a few months. And
Ryan, is this a pilot for a Frank Stallone, Frank Stallone podcast? Man. Is this what you're doing here today?
It's not. No, in all seriousness, this is not what's happening. That's a great question. No, but here's the thing. I will say this. If people are enjoying this to the degree that they think, maybe, I don't know, we have to hear more. Look, we are getting people saying you should continue with some sort of Frank Stallone coverage because the Rambo series will end. That means we've said that when the Rambo series ends, that's when the Frank Stallone coverage ends. And we're nearing halfway through the film of Rambo 5 now. It reminds me of those wrestling matches where the loser has to retire. There is no winner because it's like, man, I don't want any of these wrestlers to retire.
You know what I remember about those wrestling matches? They never really retired.
I know. How dare you? How dare you say they never retire? All right. Okay. So Frank Stallone was on the podcast called The Three Knockdown Rule podcast. Okay. Again, it was hosted by Mario Lopez. We're going to get into it right away. We're going to show you the introduction, all that good stuff. We've never done this before. We're breaking down a whole podcast episode. Mm-hmm. Of note, the first half hour is all we're covering. It's an hour long episode. Go ahead and watch it. Again, it's called the 3 Knockdown Rule. The last half hour of the podcast that Frank was on, it was literally legitimate about boxing. They stuck to the topic of boxing. They went through a bunch of fighters, techniques, all that stuff. So we're not breaking that part down. I don't know enough about boxing to dissect all that. We're going to get in, but I think the first half hour is what our fans and listeners want us to dissect anyways. And you'll see why as we go through it. Okay. All right. We'll start off right away. Here we go.
Round rule. Starring Mario Lopez and Steve Kim.
Here's Steve Kim.
Presented by Hustler Casino and UFC Fight Pass.
So that's a pretty big sponsors there. They're sponsored by UFC Fight Pass and Hustler Casino. Okay. So keep that in mind because that's going to play up in a second here. This is as a podcaster myself, there's a couple things that I don't like that happens right away. So that's their intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 3 Knockdown Rule on UFC Fight Pass is in effect. I'm Steve Kim, joined by Mario Lopez. And Mario, no monikers today. We got to get right into it. We have a very special guest joining us in studio.
All right, so right away they're announcing. They're getting down to business. They have a special guest in the studio. Who could it be?
Oh, someone that I've had the pleasure of knowing for a long time now. A real boxing aficionado.
Okay. Now, Dom, maybe we're on the wrong side of history here. Is Frank Stallone a real boxing aficionado?
I understand he's a boxing historian. I'll give him that. I think he collects. I think he's very knowledgeable when it comes to boxing history. I don't know if I'd call him an aficionado.
Yeah, I think you're right about he's basically like a Star Wars nerd. He's never flown the Millennium Falcon, but he collects them and he knows all of them. Yeah. Oh, is that your wake up alarm? Is it time to end the show?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. All right. So that's who they got on the show.
And keeps himself in the gym and is looking great. Mr. Frank Stallone.
Yeah, all right, you guys.
Hey.
Now, this is great. They introduced Frank. He's really happy to be there. Did you notice what Mario Lopez was wearing, though?
The Cobra shirt, right?
He's wearing a sleeveless Cobra hoodie because he's got to show off his guns. Mario Lopez is very big on his work.
Of course. How do you feel about Mario Lopez? I like Mario Lopez.
He's fine. He's harmless. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a couple things to say about him. I don't know if you caught this during the interview, but did you listen to it or did you watch it?
I actually listened to it. I didn't know there was a visual component. Now I'm really excited to see the visual.
Oh, good. You get to watch the visual. Well, there's a couple of visual things that you won't be so excited to see when I point them out from Mario. Oh, okay. So Mario's wearing he's wearing a Cobra shirt. That's right. Cobra hoodie. That's why I pointed that out for you as well. Because if you haven't seen that, and our listeners now get to know what he's wearing. But this is I feel bad for Frank here or any guest because I think this is bad podcast, what do you call it, etiquette? Because they introduce Frank and they do this right away.
Yeah. Big fan of your show.
So you're the one. But anyway, look, speaking of the show,
he says you're the one, meaning they have low numbers. Now, I did go to their YouTube channel. The numbers aren't that high for these two guys. Mario Lopez should probably draw more than a couple thousand views per
You would think podcast. So. Yeah.
It's not like we're getting much close to that ourselves. However, I'm not Mario Lopez, and I'm certainly not Steve Kim, and I don't have a sponsor like UFC or what have you. So even Steve mentioned, oh, you're the one that listens, because Frank says he's a – but I find this bad podcasting edit. They go into the plugs right away. I know Joe Rogan used to do this. He'd do his plugs right at the beginning. But I would have done the plugs before introducing the guests. That's just me.
But even Joe Rogan used to do it before the show even started.
That's right. Don't introduce the guests, nothing. Because now that your guest got introduced, he was all excited, a big fan of your show. It's like, hey, speaking of our show –
and they might be relevant to his own existence, the advertisements that you're going to push.
Yeah, we're going to go into that. So this is the first thing they plug, which is, of course, UFC. But it's the second commercial that Mario plugs, which I wonder if Frank squirmed in his seat a little bit. Let's take a look.
I would have.
Podcast is sponsored by Hustler Casino. Go to hustlercasino.com.
That's a harmless enough first commercial. Now it's Mario's turn to give his commercial. Let's check it out. I think it's a very apropos commercial, don't you think? Let's check it out.
Also, a big shout out to our guys here at Scalp Micro LA. They offer a unique and innovative hair solution for men. They specialize in something called SMP, which is essentially state-of-the-art restoration service that replicates the exact shape and follicle of your hair by tattooing tiny particles of pigment into the scalp, giving the illusion of hair.
giving the illusion of Harrison.
There's a version of this, Ryan, that as Mario Lopez is talking, they're zooming in on Frank Stallone's hair.
Dude, I don't care who you are. I don't care what side of the fence of Frank you're on. If you claim that's Frank's real hair, you are lying to yourself.
You are the enemy if you claim that is Frank Stallone's real hair.
He literally got this done. It's either a toupee, like you said, like that with those high-end toupee type high-ends, or it's that micro where they literally insert hair into your scalp, which is insane.
It's a big thing, and it's a real thing. You can see results as little as one treatment. They can restore hairlines, give the appearance of thicker, more dense hair, and especially if you're rocking a close-crop hairstyle, concealed any sort of issue you may have, camouflage burn, skin condition. They use the highest quality. So if you're going bald, looking for a new look, hit up our friends at Scalp Micro. Mention this ad for a free consult.
Frank, so you got their number?
All right. If you're getting thin, he'll help fill you in.
Now, this is, I noticed this while I was watching this. Of course, you never saw this. Steve, for whatever reason, every time he talks, and it's proven here, he always looks to his right. It's Mario's left. He rarely ever looks at Frank. It's odd. Every time he's on camera, he talks to Mario and very rarely looks to Frank. I don't know why that is. I find that odd. Yeah, it's just weird. And it's proven right here where he looks to Mario. I just wanted to confirm that, but it's, yeah. We never see all three of them on camera at the same time. The camera directing is always on the speaker. We never see them as a group.
Mario, you won't have that problem.
Hey,
like Ronald Reagan's hairline.
Yeah. We'll see. You're looking good, Frank. Frank.
Okay. Okay. So he goes, Mario, you'll never have that problem. You got a Ronald Reagan hairline. Now, I like how Frank didn't say, I will never need that, or aren't I lucky? He doesn't draw attention to himself at all. He points it back at Mario, saying, you've got great hair. You'll never need it. I think it's a bit of a deflection to point out someone else.
Definitely. Because you got to, if you're wearing something fake, you got to be self-conscious about it at that moment.
I want to jump right in because you were prominently featured in the new Netflix documentary, Sly, of course, pertaining to your brother, Sylvester Stallone. And
they said, did you watch the documentary? You did. That's right.
Yes.
Would you say,
no.
Can you Google prominently featured? That means?
Absolutely not. He's absolutely not prominently featured. He's in two scenes, I feel like.
He's like maybe three or four scenes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I hate it when podcasters say this, but I'm going to say it because we took notes. Here's the thing. Dom and I, for the first time in our history of our TV, of our podcast, we're actually taking notes. We actually took notes. We've never taken notes. We've never prepared for any of our podcasts. You probably can tell in our product, we never prepare for our show. But I wanted to make sure I caught everything here. The reason why they're talking to Frank, and you'll see this throughout this first half hour, is because they couldn't get Sly.
100%.
Every question, everything they're doing, as much as they can, these are the questions they would have asked Sly, but they didn't get Sly, so they're talking to Frank.
Right.
Did you catch that too?
Yeah, absolutely. The first half hour, until they, like you said, until they go into the boxing later, it's all Sylvester Stallone oriented.
Here's the 4 minute, 20 second mark. Here we go.
He was a tough hairdresser. But
I was going to say that's a masculine.
But you know, they're all, you know, Mario in those days.
So they're talking about Frank's dad, who back in the day, I guess in Italy, or even before, sorry, not before Italy, and or Italy, and while they're in the States, he was a hairdresser. Like he did men's hair or even women's hair. So he would do hair. And now watch Frank. You'll catch this here because he's talking about how, of course, everything back in the day, men were men. Everything was manlier back in the day, right? Because he mentions hairdressers today, he indicates that they're gay. It's a very subtle, but that's what he's referring to. Because he talked about how in the day they were men. You never made fun of a hairdresser back in the day. Right. Men were men back then, but today they're not quite that way. It's very subtle. But to see if you can catch how he shows it's not the case today.
World War II guys were on the GI Bill. How do you meet chicks? Become a hairdresser. So all these guys like had anchor tattoos. All right, cutting women's hair.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, they were the hairstylists then, not like
hairstylists.
See,
he did the hand thing.
Yes, it's very subtle, and the camera cut really quickly afterwards. He goes, not like today. And he put his hands up like that. the flamboyant hands. He goes, not like today. Oh, Frank, we love you. Okay. Now, did you catch the shout out that he gave at the 5.5 minute mark. We talk about his half siblings and stuff.
Yes, I did. That was Dante, right? That was
yes, right. He gives a shout out to Dante without saying Dante. Check out now. His family tree is a lot bigger than I thought. It's not just Sly. He has a lot of half brothers and sisters.
I didn't realize that either.
I love how he casually mentions his dead sister. Oh yeah, my sister died. Did you catch that? All right, let's hear some.
He casually mentions he has all those half brothers too. He just says it.
Sister, and then he married another woman. I have a half brother and two half sisters. My other sister died, but so I had three half. And my brother and I.
Wow.
And then my father married a woman with four kids, which was real bright. And then he had my sister, and then he married another woman, and he had a kid. So my father would be 103. I have a brother, 27.
Wow. So
my father had a kid with his wife. She had the kid. He was like 77. Not the smartest thing in the world. But
so it's not too late for you, Frank, to have a family. See, your dad did it at your age. You can do it, too.
He's gonna do it too.
So that was the mention. That was the Dante shadow. We haven't seen Dante in his Instagram for a while. Yeah.
Spinoff of a spinoff, the Dante Stallone podcast.
Oh, man. Can you imagine doing a Dante podcast? Oh boy. We're already scraping the bottom. Yeah,
that's rock bottom.
All right. So let's continue here. He's gonna talk shortly here about something he failed in school.
No, I never got in trouble. I was petrified of getting believe me, I was a lousy student. I was just looking at my report cards from like D, E, a C. I'd be like ecstatic. Flunk music.
You don't say. You don't say, Frank.
Is the end?
He flunked music. Wow. That is funny. All right, let's continue here. This is the big one, and this is where we catch up on our notes with each other. He's going to, we talked about how his half brothers and sisters, and now he's going to talk about his hit, his big hit that, of course, he had, and how powerful of a hit it was.
Your flunk music, that brings me to my next segment, because I got to say, I don't know if I've ever told you, but I'm a big fan of the Staying Alive soundtrack.
Thank you.
That was awesome. That was my buddy over there sitting. Yeah.
Now, did you catch that? He goes, I'm a big fan, not of you, Frank. Like, he's just at a semi pause, and then Frank said, "Oh, thank you." Of the Saturday Night Live sound, Saturday Night Fever soundtrack or whatever. Staying Alive, particularly that soundtrack. But I love how Frank's, you're a big fan of me. Oh, yeah, sure, the soundtrack. But he continues about the soundtrack talk. We're gonna get to that.
Corner, yeah. Far From Over is an awesome song, quintessential 80s right there. Yeah. And really, I'm glad I got to showcase your talent. I know it reached number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. Correct me if I'm wrong.
But some charts it was 7, some it was 1.
Love it.
I have so many notes here, and I do apologize. It's going to take me. This is where it gets a little bit confusing. He, as you probably noticed too, Dom, he's all over the place about his stats. And what was nominated for what. And I Googled everything during my listen with this, and I stopped and Googled. Now, according to my research, Far From Over didn't reach number one anywhere.
He said it, Ryan. It's got to be true.
It never reached one anywhere at all that I could do. And now, people, please, if you're a Frank Stallone supporter and you would like to show me where I was wrong, but my research indicated it wasn't number one anywhere. Okay.
I was number one for a moment, and I was above Thriller, Synchronicity.
Ooh, look at
and
that.
And Billy that. Joel. And I said, man, all right.
So what is the problem with that statement in your supposition?
We're talking about one of the biggest albums of all time, Thriller. We're talking about, who else did he say? Billy Joel,
yeah.
And who is the third person he said?
He said he went number one. He never did. And listen to who he's
Number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. Correct me if I'm wrong.
So he said number 10. So Mario's got the stats that I have.
I think that sounds about right.
That's right. And that's the highest I think he went overall, like on the big chart. So if Mario's got the information I have, he's reading it to Frank. But he's, oh, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, Frank, I will correct you. I think it was number one for a moment. No, you weren't, Frank. You're recreating history.
To say you had
some charts.
Oh, sorry. Say that again.
No, I was going to say you had Thriller beat for a moment. It doesn't even make sense, because at that time, Michael Jackson was already Michael Jackson. It wasn't. Well,
we're going to get to that. We're going to get to Far From Over, just so you know, came out in 84.
Okay.
Thriller came out in 82. Okay. So Thriller, as the album and the song, but the album sold over 100 million physical copies. It is the number one selling album of all time, still to this day. Here. Okay, let me just, I'll tell you what's going on here, but let me just let him say it again here. The artist that he beat, apparently.
This was seven, some of it was one.
Love
but
it.
I remember I was number one for a moment, and I was above Thriller, Synchronicity.
Ooh, please.
Look at
and
that.
And Billy Joel. And I said, man, I.
Okay.
So, Sting and the Police.
Okay, here's the thing. This is the problem with the Frank math here. At some point, every artist is above Thriller if you wait long enough. He's acting like his song came out and dethroned these artists. Like if the
Billy Joel also at the height of his powers at that time.
Yeah. Billy Joel has sold more albums, all these artists, than Frank could ever dream of. He had one hit that hit the charts at a certain amount of time for a short period of time. Here's the thing. When Frank dropped off the charts, guess who was still on the charts in 85 probably? Police, Billy Joel, Thriller.
Mm-hmm.
He's acting, you get what I'm saying. So he's acting like his song dethroned these people.
Now, I don't want to make you look it up now, but who were the other artists on that list when he was top 10?
I didn't look up necessarily who was there at that time. Okay. But he's going to get some awards and stuff, but he's got more to say here.
Of course.
Just to even be in the top 10 or top five, then look at.
I thought you were number one, Frank. I thought you were number one. What do you mean top five? Why did you just say you were number one again? Because you know.
Well, it was in one in some places.
He knows he wasn't. So he went back to, to be in the top 10 and top five. Yeah.
The competition
huge.
That year.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah.
It was a great soundtrack.
You had Flashdance, you had Thriller. You had Lionel Richie's album, huge, Billy Joel, and then you had the Police, Synchronicity.
All legends.
So it was pretty tough competition.
That is incredible.
It wasn't competition in the sense of like, it's no competition. They destroyed you.
Right. But he should be happy with 10. Like, he should be happy to admit that he was in 10. That's an achievement, Frank.
It was Grammy nominated too, right?
I was nominated for a Grammy for Best Soundtrack.
Look,
you know,
the
Golden Globe for Best Song.
That's right, Golden Globe. That's
Frank,
right.
There was a part of Sly where you guys touched upon it. That
am I crazy? Where is maybe Frank's to his right?
Is he in another room or something? Is this like a Robin Howard Stern situation?
I don't know. It's so maybe Frank is to his right and Mario is to his right.
Am I picking up on something? Because when I listen to this, I don't know, when they mention Golden Globe, I feel like Mario Lopez laughs almost like mockingly. Maybe I'm picking up on something that's not there.
Your brother's success was going to impact you, not necessarily.
He is looking over to his left. Now he is looking at Frank. See? He's looking at Frank right now. This question's important. Because I love how they just finished talking about Frank. Here's the thing. They're not very good at this. And this is what bugs me. Like, as much as we're taking the mick out of Frank, okay, mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of the way these guys handle Frank, meaning this, and Steve is terrible at it. So just finished talking about Frank's successes, and poor Frank, the guy goes into, hey, so speaking of Sly, your brother,
it was Grammy nominated too, right?
I was nominated for a Grammy for Best Soundtrack. Look, Golden Globe for Best Song.
That's right, Golden Globe.
Frank, there was a part of Sly where you guys touched upon it, that your brother's success was going to impact you and not necessarily always positively.
No, it was pretty negative.
Okay, this is very telling what Frank says here. So basically they're saying, hey, in the documentary, of course, that part was brought up where Sly got big because of Rocky. It's going to impact you. This is, listen to what Frank, how he responds to this.
Yeah. And the thing is, my brother at one point used to help me move my equipment with my band. So he wasn't like the flavor of the month. So he was.
Okay, so what Frank is saying here, before Rocky, Sly, my brother, was just a peon like the rest of us, and he used to help me lug around my guitar amps. And what's that proving? What does that mean? What's Frank saying there?
Putting down Sly a little bit, I feel like.
It is. It's total jealousy. It's totally living in some sort of glory days that never existed, because what Frank is saying, my brother used to just be my brother. Yeah, every celebrity was just a waiter.
Right.
The person waiting at the bus stop, Starbucks, whoever, barista, yes, but that doesn't mean anything. That goes for everybody that's a celebrity that we know today, from The Rock to whoever. They were just quote-unquote nobodies before they were somebodies, right? That's what makes them celebrities. So for him to say that Sly used to help me carry my music equipment around, he was a nobody, but that doesn't change about who he became. And he called them a flavor of the month too, which is an odd dish.
Yeah. You could tell there's a little something.
Yeah, there's animosity there. Absolutely there is. Mm-hmm.
So what happened is when Rocky came out, I was out here when they were rehearsing it with Sonny Shields, Randy's father, and Gene LaBelle was acting as the referee when they were and
he mentions that I was here when they were working on the film. This is actually very telling. It's coming up here. He proves his point about, remember when he mentioned he failed music school? Listen to how long he was in the trenches for before Rocky came out. This is important because he actually buries himself a little bit here because he tries to make the point here.
And my album, we just signed with RCA. My album almost came out the same time Rocky. Now,
he can't talk. So he had a band called Valentine before he was solo. And he's saying that his band signed with RCA and it almost came out. He's trying to establish here that he would be Frank Stallone without Sly.
Like he was going to, before if he would have hit first, he would have almost
it would have been, the documentary of today would have been called Stallone, Sly that is, because Frank would be the big music star and Sly would be the riding on his coattail. Hey, Frank, could I write a movie about your songs?
They would have been Frank Stallone impersonators that live their life like that, running around Philadelphia.
So he's totally recreating history or trying to make it work for his narrative. Okay. So he's saying that his band signed with RCA, but yeah, the band failed. It doesn't matter about Sly at this point. So he's saying Rocky came out first.
I don't care if you came out with Thriller, you couldn't have competed with Rocky when he.
But that's not two different mediums.
I mean, he goes, yeah. So he again, oh, this is, sorry, this is so hard to get through. This might be a 5-hour episode. No, he's saying it doesn't matter if you have Thriller, you can't compete with Rocky. Here's the thing. They both exist and they both were hugely successful. So it doesn't matter.
Right.
You're right, Frank, because Thriller was a kick-ass pop album that destroyed all records and sales. Catapulted Michael to the stardom that he himself never came back from. And he's proven his point by not proving his point that Thriller, and here's the thing, Thriller came out 6 years after Rocky came out. So it doesn't matter. Valentine's debut album was not Thriller material. That's why it didn't do anything.
And so he brings it up like it's competition.
Again, it's a comp. Yeah, you're right. It's a competition. So he's saying Thriller, which came out 2 years before my Far From Over. Like he's comparing all these apples and oranges and pears. Okay. So he's saying Rocky is such a phenomenon that it doesn't matter what album came out. I should have Googled, a better podcaster would have Googled what albums came out in 1976. I got news for you. I bet you a lot of successful albums got released the same year that Rocky's film came out that they have nothing to do with the other.
Absolutely.
The music that came out in 76. And they didn't get
drowned out from Rocky.
That's right, yeah. This just in. Record sales have plummeted in 1976 because the Rocky film came out. It makes no sense. He's basically saying my band failed because we sucked. Not because Rocky came out.
Came out. It was just too big.
Right.
10 Academy Award. Just a perfect movie. So what happened, I think, coincidentally, people probably think I thought I just picked up the guitar the day Rocky came out.
By the way, Hotel California by the Eagles came out in 1976.
How in the world did that song become a hit? How is that possible that song could be? Isn't Eagles' greatest hits one of the greatest albums sold of all time as well?
Yeah,
how's that possible?
Because it didn't come out the same year as Rocky.
Like people were at the music store saying, I really want to buy this album, but I want to see Rocky too. What do I do here? Doesn't this logic blow your mind?
It is. When you really think about it, it really does. If you made a memorable, good album.
Yes. That's it. It doesn't matter what TV shows out, what novels out. They're two different mediums. And here's the thing. Two good albums could be released the same year and enjoy both.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a whole other episode.
Be released on the same day.
Anyways, so what he's saying now, folks, let me, Frank, translate for you. He's saying Rocky has come out. It's a hugely successful movie. No album can compete with the movie, let alone my band called Valentine. And then he says, however, now that Sly is a huge international star, people are digging into his family. They find out he has a brother named Frank who happens to play music. And they thought, oh, because my brother is a star, I just happened to pick up a guitar so I could be a celebrity too. That's what he's saying we think has happened. And he goes into more about how he buries himself with his own theory here.
Exactly.
Hey, Fly, I got a song for you.
Yeah, I got a song for you.
Yeah.
So I've been in bands. I've been playing the club circuit, like dives and stuff, for 12, 13 years at that point. Wow. I started.
Yes. And you never got out of it. You'd still be there if your brother didn't exist. That's the whole point.
Bold now. He says something bold now that I don't think the years add up. If I don't know if you remember what he says here.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to it. But you get what I'm saying here? He's saying, hey, I've been scraping my knuckles on these bars and these dives and playing all these in bands. And all of a sudden people know who I am because my brother. But I've already paid my. No, yeah, sure. But you haven't. You didn't break out. Welcome to every starving artist. Welcome to every starving musician who hits these bars even today, who will never get big. It's just the way it goes, Frank. You never broke out. And the only reason why you exist is because you're a brother. End of story. You had 13 years. And nothing happened.
In 1965, I was playing Beatles songs when the Beatles were still together in bars. Sure. So
what does that mean?
He says that's what I was. He's saying that he was playing in bars when the Beatles were playing in bars. I don't think he was.
No, he was saying he was playing Beatles songs while they were still a band. So he's just trying to show you how long he's been doing this music thing, that the Beatles were still together and he's playing covers, Frank, of Beatles songs. So he's proven his point that, yeah, you might want to change careers. You might want to do something else.
And what happened is it was just one of those things. And I got hit hard.
Yes. One of those things was your brother became successful at his trade. You did not.
Art more because when he came, it's not like an actor went big. Rocky was iconic. Yeah. Here's an
like unknown, phenomenon.
Yeah. Phenomenon. It was an unknown actor. The most known actor was Burgess Meredith.
Right.
As the Penguin. That's what they knew
him right.
from.
That's and, right. That's right.
Yes. Yes, Stallone was a struggling actor. Like, you were a struggling musician. Your brother created the script and it became huge. The songs you created did not become huge.
Right.
That's the simple, like, that's the equation.
Right. So
he's going out of his way to really justify why he's not as famous as Sly.
I can't stress this enough. He would not be on this podcast right now if Sly never existed. If Sly was a hairdresser like his dad, or went and worked the docks or whatever, didn't want to write, didn't want to be an entertainer, would Frank be on this podcast right now talking about his music?
I don't think so.
No.
And so what happened is, I think coincidentally, I just all of a sudden went from Frank Stallone, rock and roll guy, great band. We won all the Battle of the Bands.
Oh my gosh, I just want to yell so much. I can't handle this.
Battle of the Bands.
He won Battle of the Bands? What are you talking about?
This is almost like he was popular in high school, maybe. And then he became Sylvester Stallone's brother, and he just feels that still.
It blows my mind because he's saying we won Battle of the Bands and we're doing all this and that. And coincidentally, he's almost acting again. He's saying that he would have become Frank without Sly, but Sly got there first. So it's not fair. It's not fair that he got famous before me.
All of a sudden, I went from that to Rocky's brother. Like I just went for it's like almost like my whole 12 years was like evaporated.
Yes, evaporated in a good way. You went from nothing to something. You went from nothing to something, Frank. That's the evaporation. It's a good evaporation. Like right now, our podcast, we get like 2 views, let's say. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Let's say your other podcast, you do the Movie Thoughts podcast. Let's just pretend in a world you've got these Joe Rogan numbers, right?
I got Joe Rogan numbers.
Yeah. And then you could say, oh, I do a podcast with Ryan where we talk about Frank and Rambo. Check it out. Coincidentally, my 6 years of podcasting I've done, which has garnered Frank Stallone bartendant's numbers, I would now get a little bit more. That's the Joe Rogan effect. That's why you have these Brendan Schaub,
these comedians.
That's right. They exist because now some people like Brendan Schaub, who's not a very good comedian, but they exist because they're friends with Joe.
Exactly.
That's the Joe Rogan effect. That's the celebrity. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works, Frank. That's how it works in Hollywood. That's how it works in business. Is you're friends with the boss, you play golf with them, whatever it is, and it's a. But take that journey and be thankful for it.
And I had to claw back.
How was
this? So
he never clawed back, Ryan.
He says he had to claw back. Claw back from what?
He never got back. To whatever he's talking about. He never got there. He never got back.
To Sly's credit, and Frank, you should be grateful for this, you didn't have to play those bars and dives again.
Exactly.
Dynamic with you and your brother during that time.
Fine.
You always got along.
No, we fight a lot.
Your brothers.
We don't always get along. But the thing was, I remember we were sitting in a hotel. Remember, Rocky was a very cheap movie. It was $800,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at the dailies in the cheap hotel room in Philadelphia.
I didn't know that Ken Norton was originally cast to play Apollo Creed.
That's right.
Wow. I don't know if Ken Norton could act, but he certainly would have looked the part. But man, Carl Weathers ended was just so perfect.
And Burt Young was perfect.
Perfect.
No one could.
Rest in peace.
I would say that was probably one of the.
Okay. Not much there. Just, yes, to talk about the Sly documentary again, how it's Sly borrowed from a couple movies. And Frank got a little defensive. Yeah, he admits it. We're not saying that's bad. That's normal. Artists draw inspiration from books, music, movies all the time. And then they expand on that. Even Star Wars was based on, like, George Lucas based that whole story on some Japanese movie or something. I think it was called.
It's Seven Samurai.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. It's normal. So he goes into talking about how Lee J. Cobb died. Sorry, he was the part for Burgess Meredith or whatever that was.
Interesting.
Yeah. So let's just go up just a little bit here. He's going to go and talking about something else. I think about Sly coming up here.
Excuse me? Read for this like cheap movie?
Oh, here we go. And he goes, I know what's coming up. Okay. So he's just talking about how Lee J. Cobb was going to play the part of Burgess, but he got mad about having to read for the film. And Sly got mad at John G. Avildsen for making this bigger actor read. But it turned out better because Burgess Meredith did a great job. And also Lee J. Cobb actually died 1 month after filming started. So had he been cast, he would have died during the filming process. And they would have had to stop production to find another actor. Yeah. Mm. So that would have been an interesting spin. So it's actually good that they didn't hire this guy.
This time I read was for Ilya Kazan on the Waterfront. So thank you. It's a great script. Have a good time. Sly wanted to kill John Avildsen.
Ooh.
Burgess did a great job.
No, Burgess was incredible.
He was made for that role.
Frank,
I have a question. What is the problem? I'll be honest with you. Pushin' is a song that I listen to regularly. And in my head, as I'm working out doing cardio, I think of a house of ill repute with bubbles going on. Because that's the scene where he's training for Clubber Lang.
Yeah.
And I love that song. What is the process of actually getting a song on a soundtrack? How does that work?
So,
Ryan, first off, your brother has to be starring and directing the movie that you're doing the soundtrack for.
Yes. I went to IMDb to double check this. So listen to Frank's answer. And I don't have it in front of me, folks, but just trust me when I say this, okay? He has like 40 to 50 soundtrack credits to films. Oh, that's pretty cool. Far From Over was 80% of them. That song was used throughout different films and TV shows.
Right.
Okay. So Far From Over was on the movie soundtrack that his brother directed.
Mm-hmm.
Staying Alive, right?
Boom.
Yeah. So that's how that worked. Of all the songs he's sung for films, 90% of them have been with his brother.
Of course.
I think it's been four or five that were, he did like a duet on some cheesy 80s comedy film. His credits that are not the Sly films are horrible songs and horrible films. That's the other irony, is the songs that are half decent happen to be on the Sly films. But here, let's listen to Frank, how he gets his songs on these soundtracks, because it's got nothing to do with his brother, of course.
I'm taking notes here.
Oh, I done, as you mentioned, Take You Back on Rocky 1, and on Rocky 2, I did Two Kinds of Love and Singing by the Trash Can. So I'd moved out here at that point.
That's right. I remember that.
I said, Sly, you like my music. So I got together with Bill Conti, and we wrote Pushin'.
By the way, Pushin' is an absolute garbage song.
Pushin', getting ready for the fight.
Has he mentioned how he gets his songs on the? Sly kind of liked my music. Yeah.
But even how he's just nonchalant, like he's just saying, oh, yeah, I got Take You Back and Rocky. You know, like you're. It's your brother's movie.
Yes.
Even Sylvester Stallone at that point, okay, he wasn't Sylvester Stallone yet, but I'm sure it helped
that he was in the movie, and he was able to say, "Oh, my brother's got this song. You want to put it in the movie?"
Have you heard Pushing outside of the movie Rocky
III? No, but he said that he played it live, right, recently?
Yes, he did. I do have it here. Let's hear what he has to say about Pushing.
And I didn't like the production number of it. So I do it live. It's more like balls to the wall.
Okay, he's so all over the place. He was asked the question, how do you get your song? It's a decent enough question from Steve. Maybe it's a bit of a troll question, like, how do you get your music on soundtracks? He mentions Take You Back, and he did three different renditions of that song. Oh, actually, yeah, three. He did the version that's on Rocky One. Then he did the urban kind of like R&B version
right.
In Rocky III. And then right. He did the hip-hop version. Or the hip-hop version was done, sorry, by another artist in part five. Then he mentions Pushing that he collaborated with Bill Conti on. Again, a Sly Stallone production.
Against Bill Conti's will.
Oh, man. I'm sure Bill... By the way, I interviewed Bill Conti on my Rocky podcast.
Oh, did you? Oh, I gotta go back.
Oh, you haven't heard that? Let me send you that.
No, no. Send me that.
The greatest interview I've ever done. And yeah, I actually asked Bill a couple of tough questions too, by the way. Little trivia for you. Here's a little hint or a tease if you want to check it out. Maybe I'll put it in the show notes so people can find it. But the Rocky theme, the beginning, it's actually not a Bill Conti composition. It's borrowed from something else. Yes. And the round 14, the round 14 crescendo music.
Right.
Was actually from an Italian pop song that he helped collaborate with before the Rocky film. And he just repurposed the music in the film.
Wow.
Yes. And I asked him about those questions. Or I put him to the task a little bit about doing that. And yeah. Anyways.
I never did it live until I played Atlantic City at the Hard Rock.
Okay, let me just, sorry, we sidetracked. So he talks about Pushing. He does the balls to the wall. He plays it live, does the balls to the wall. But I haven't done it in 40 years. I've only done it once. Let me just go back.
No, and the best part is he says Atlantic City. That was like a year and a half ago.
That's right. And I've got the footage of it. We'll show you how balls to the wall it is.
How balls to the wall is it?
Okay, here we go again.
So I'd moved out here at that point.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah,
and I said, Sly, he kind of liked my music. So I got together with Bill Conti and we wrote Pushing. And I didn't like the production number of it. So I do it live. It's more like balls to the wall. I never did it live until I played Atlantic City at the Hard Rock last year. So in 40 years almost, I never played that song live.
He's only done it live once.
Yes. See, this is what I mean about these stories that him and his brother both do. He's telling a story and he's telling a narrative, but he realizes, oh, wait, I haven't. He says, I play it live. It's balls to the wall. But I haven't played it live ever until now for the first time in 40 years. And now we got some footage of that. I got some fan footage of that. Do you want to see some of this
balls to the wall? Abso-fucking-lutely. Let's get balls to the wall right now. When I think of great songs, Ryan, I think of Bohemian Rhapsody. I think a Let It Be, and I think a Pushing by Frank Stallone.
Here we go. Check it out. See him reading his lyrics on the podium there.
Where's the balls in the walls? I don't understand.
This is balls to the wall, and I know he's 70 whatever, but his stage presence is so awkward. It's so it doesn't. I feel like he's singing okay-ish karaoke.
Right,
does that make sense?
It's like watching one of your uncles sing karaoke.
Yes, it doesn't seem. I don't think he's naturally a rock star. I don't think he's like, you watch him. Like, I just saw, again, I mentioned this on one of our older episodes, that I saw Peter Gabriel live, right? Oh. He's the same age as Frank. Incredible singer still to this day. And even though he's a little bit more overweight, of course, or whatever, his stage presence, you could tell he's an artist, if that makes
sense. He's a showman, right?
Yeah, you could tell he was an artist on stage. His stories, his singing, his band.
Right.
Then you watch this. I just feel like, oh, this is so cringe. Let's hear a little bit more, though. This is the balls of the wall. First time in 40 years. Oh, see, you see that?
I thought he pulled his back out.
No, he was looking at the lyrics. He couldn't make up the lyrics on his stand there. He had to look closer at what the lyrics were. So he bent down to look at them a little bit. And he got, let's go back a little bit more. You'll see. And then his singing is a little bit off key, I think. Okay. Anyway, I can't. All right. So it's pretty. Sometimes you just got to retire. As they say, sometimes you just got to hang up the gloves.
Got to hang it up. You got to hang it up.
All right, so let's continue. Oh, this is a nice little tidbit here coming up here. I'll put it. He talks about Eye of the Tiger, which is not his song. It's written by Frankie Sullivan of, and he's right about something. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Check it out.
Bill Conti didn't win the Oscar for Gonna Fly Now? Come on.
Who won that year?
You're not going to believe. Who? I think it was The Omen. There's no songs in The Omen.
Oh, come on.
That scared a hell of a lot of people.
Are you kidding me?
The Omen was scary. How about Eye of the Tiger?
It was scary, but...
Yeah, we won't get too deep. Basically, he does a whole discussion that comes up a few times about who should have won. I got nominated for this. I got nominated. No. The way it works, Frank, too, is just because a song is fun or popular or has a toe tapper, that's not necessarily what the Oscars are looking for. And right. He got mad about the Grammys and or the Oscars, where the Flashdance song won. That's a good song. I watched the video again. It's a really cool song. Yeah, and I'm far from over. Okay, so he talks about Frankie Sullivan and Eye of the Tiger.
It was not as
about Eye of the Tiger didn't win for best song. That's probably the most played song. I think
who won that year? Do you know?
I think it was Officer and a Gentleman, Up Where We Belong.
That's a great song, by the way.
It's a good song, yeah. Joe Cocker.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Eye of the Tiger. I've said this before, and he's right that it is played too much. The opening chords are fun, but it's a repetitive song. There's not much to it. I think it's actually quite boring. I'd rather listen to Burning Heart or Robert Tepper's No Easy Way Out is the best Rocky song. I'm hands down. I'm sorry. God.
No Easy Way Out is phenomenal.
It's a phenomenal song. I never get tired of that. And I also interviewed Robert Tepper on my show.
Oh, nice. I got to go. Yeah. Look, I got to go back. I also interviewed
Vince DiCola. I should put all those.
Yeah.
You said okay. That. Anyways. Sure. But check this out.
Oh, come on, Joe Cocker.
By the way, Frank, I think Eye of the Tiger was turned down by Karate Kid. I've read that somewhere.
Karate Kid was later. They did Moment of Truth. What happened is Sly was the one who goes, and he came up with the phrase, Eye of the Tiger. So Scotty Brothers Record had a group called Survivor, and they wanted to really see if they could push him to the next level. So they wrote Eye of the Tiger. Everyone thinks I wrote it. I said, if I did, I'd be a kajillionaire.
Right.
Now he's right. This is where he's right. Do you know Frankie Sullivan of Eye of the Tiger, Survivor fame? He's the guitarist, I believe, and he wrote Eye of the Tiger. Do you know what Frank Stallone's net worth is?
Frank Stallone's net worth?
Yeah.
Do you have any? If I had a guess, I'd say like a 10 million.
2.5.
Oh, wow. And what's funny, my gut was telling me like 3 million. And yeah. I was like, oh, it's got to be more than that.
No, it's 2.5. Okay, which is crazy because Sly is 500 million. Yeah, Frankie, who wrote, now that's the, this is the crazy, so this is where Frank is right. This is where music royalty is huge, okay?
Huge,
so
right?
I would say if I went up to the battle of two Franks, if I went up to an average 10 guys our age and said, hey, who's Frankie Sullivan? I'd be very surprised if anyone could tell me he's a guitarist of Survivor. But right. If I say, who's Frank Stallone? They would be like, that's Sly's brother. Right?
Absolutely.
Frankie Sullivan, 20 million net worth.
Wow.
There you go. Music royalty from one. That's from one freaking song.
Figure that basically. Song gets used all the time.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Royalties, brother. Royalties. Mm-hmm. So Frank's right. And he knows that. He ain't stupid. Okay. There's some more Oscar talk coming up here.
How many times was Pushing used?
No, never. Nobody wants that song. Nothing. It shouldn't even be on the Rocky III soundtrack. It's a horrible song.
Never understand.
I don't understand.
That song is played almost at every sporting event. Eye of the Tiger is played almost at every sporting event sometime, but it just goes to show you, man.
What do they know exactly?
Hey, I got screwed out of my Oscar nomination.
He's talking about how he got screwed out of his Oscar nomination. Absolutely ridiculous. I love how he changed it from Oscar. I got screwed out of my Oscar nomination because he wasn't even nominated. It's an honor just to be. It's an honor just to be snubbed from the Oscar nomination. Because he mentions the reason why he feels like he was snubbed from a nomination is because he talks later, how the same songs that were nominated for Grammys that he was nominated with were also Oscar nominated. So he feels like how come I wasn't Oscar nominated? Because they want nothing to do with you.
They didn't think you were good enough, Frank.
We should mention, he did mention this. So when he talked about being screwed out of the Oscar, he did mention afterwards that Sly called him. You want to talk about that?
Yes. Yes.
So Sly, funny enough, that's what I love. I think it's like Sly was like trolling a little bit. So Frank felt like he was cheated out of an Oscar nomination. So for Sly, though, calls him and said, oh, you're going to hate this. The Oscar nominations came out and you weren't nominated. And he told Frank that his career had died because of that.
He said, Frank said to him, what, did somebody die? And he said, yeah, your career.
That's right. Yeah, your career. And he's not necessarily wrong. That was the biggest hit Frank had ever had, was Far From Over. That's his biggest hit.
Again, I liked Rocky III. I was in it.
Okay, I just love that part. I don't know why. I love Rocky III.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He's in the opening as one of the people he's boxing, right?
Actually, that's a little trivia. He's one of the boxers that Sly and or Rocky knocks out. That montage, the beginning, the 10 to...
they went half a day.
They was handpicked.
What do you mean? It was setups?
they weren't setups. They weren't crazy fighters like that. That guy was knocking at the bar, Ryan. Mars.
Okay. All right. So he brings that up. I was in Rocky III. Yeah. He also, though, remember he was singing Pushing in the House of Ill Repute. He was
right,
with the girls
right.
there. He sang. That was his big scene. Literally 2 seconds. Blink, you'll miss Frank. But he was in Rocky III. I was in it.
He was going balls to the walls there.
Yeah, balls to walls.
I was in Love Rocky 1, 2, 3.
I was in 1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah. Why does he say that? Here's the thing. People that know Rocky already know this. And then those who don't, are people watching this interview and saying, oh, you know what? Frank was in the first 3 Rocky films. I better go watch those. Like, what's he plugging
what
here?
What scene was he in? But it's the same thing with Tombstone. Like the 5 seconds he's in Tombstone. He's just, I was in it. I was in it.
Yeah.
I was co-starring. Yeah,
ironically, he had the most lines in Tombstone. He had more screen time in Tombstone than all the Rocky films combined.
You don't remember Rocky 1, 2, and 3? The poster said Stallone, and then on the other side it said Stallone. There was two That's Stallones right. above
two
the title.
Stallones. Rocky 2, two Stallones.
Rocky 4 is, it's a great movie. Not my favorite.
Not my favorite. Why is it not his favorite?
I'm not in it.
I just love that too. He doesn't say that, but that's what, because he mentions I was in 1, 2, 3. Rocky IV, incredible film, the number one box office film draw of the franchise. I'm not in it.
That's what he's thinking.
But a lot of people, it's their favorite
because
I will break you.
Incredible soundtrack. Great soundtrack.
Propaganda. I love it.
Yeah. And then,
yeah, great soundtrack. Vince DiCola. That's why. I love Bill. Don't get me wrong, but Vince DiCola's soundtrack for that 4th Rocky film was incredible.
That soundtrack's amazing.
It's an amazing soundtrack. Okay. Oh, this is interesting coming up here.
Rocky, he saw the Cold War. Exactly. He did. He saw the
and
Cold
Rocky
War.
Rocky 5, I said, why aren't you directing it? I think he got lazy at that point. And he let John do it. And John, I think, I love John. Don't get me wrong. I think John, if what John Avildsen had not directed Rocky 1, I don't think it would have been the same movie. Because he lived that movie, loved it. He was a great director. And Sly, I think, got lazy. And I think John had a little bit of animosity at this point because you've had 4 monster hits. Mm-hmm. Now John comes back, and John was a little bit of an authoritarian type guy. And Sly goes, oh, he tried. No, I got it. No, so it didn't come out as good as it was. Tommy Morrison, I'm the one that found Tommy Morrison. I said, look at this.
Okay, I just wanted to play that part there. I'm the one that found Tommy Morrison.
Tommy Morrison was a pretty well-known boxer then. Did he really find him?
I guess he's saying that he's the one that told Sly, you must get this guy for your film. So we have, for better or for worse, we have Frank to blame for putting Tommy Mullet Morrison into Rocky V.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to get into the Tommy Morrison, Tommy Gunn talk, but I've grown to appreciate Tommy Gunn.
I do too. I'm just taking the mic out of Tommy a little bit. When you rewatch part 5, he's actually a better actor than people remember.
I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't know if this is a bold statement, but I prefer him over Antonio Tarver.
Oh, yeah. Tarver was terrible. Because we're talking about real boxers who are now acting in the film. So Carl Weathers was an actor, not a boxer. Mr. T even was an actor, not a boxer.
Of course.
Morrison was the first one cast who was in a real-life boxer. He did just fine. Just fine.
He does a pretty good job. And I think he has that, not to get into the Rocky slide here, but I think he has that. He does a good job of doing that over the top Rocky villain with Antonio Tarver, obviously.
White guy, man, on
ESPN every month.
Mm-hmm. Knocking dudes out with the. He could punch.
Yeah.
He was on ESPN every month because he was.
Okay. And the last thing I've got here, I'm just going to double check your notes. We're nearing the end here of the half hour mark of the podcast. I think that I'll do my closing remarks at the end here. Yeah. You've got the same. I think you got the same thing here at the 28th mm-hmm. mark. Let's see if we get there here.
Nighthawks. I like that with the beard.
Cliffhanger.
The beard. Remember, Cliffhanger was great.
Victory.
Played a soccer goal.
I liked Colbert over the top. I liked all
over the top. Great soundtrack on that one.
Let's talk about all the movies your brother was in. I just like that part too.
Look at his face. That moment that he knows that he realizes cements that this podcast is not about him.
That's the irony of this whole interview. That's the irony of this whole interview is Frank Stallone is here, boxing aficionado, which they do for the last half
they
hour.
Do, so yeah, they
credit,
do, yeah.
That's what boxing. They do for the last half hour. But the first half hour is movie talk and all these Rocky talks, all these behind the scenes stuff. It's what can you tell us as best you can if Sly was... Can you just pretend to be Sly for half an hour?
Right. Exactly.
That was in a Kenny Loggins.
I always thought he should have done a sequel to Cobra.
Yeah.
Because I thought the first one was
Cobra
good.
Cobra Cabretti,
it
Marian.
Just wasn't shot well because of Cosmatos was not a great director.
No, I love that line. You might not know this. You see how he just buried Cosmatos there a little bit? Guess who directed Tombstone, his favorite film? George B. Cosmatos directed Tombstone. Now, that's a whole other nerdy discussion. George B. Cosmatos also directed Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Okay.
And he directed Cobra. And he directed Tombstone. He's the type of director, though, and Sly always hires these type of directors where he can push around.
He could direct a movie behind them, basically.
That's right. Funny enough, though, when George P. Cosmatos did Tombstone, apparently he wasn't very good there either. And it's come out officially that Kurt Russell took over directing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Directing and editing. So it really is, it's shadow directed by Kurt. Okay.
We're talking about boxing. This guy's a master historian. I'm talking about Bert Sugar level of historical data.
Oh, Bert Sugar and I used to get drunk and talk boxing.
I love it.
And I said,
all right, I can't find it. What was it you wanted? It was mentioning Sage. What did you want to say about this?
I actually like that he went into it a little bit. And I would have liked if in the Sly documentary, Sly would have went into it a little bit.
Yeah, and that's a good point. So that's ironically, I can't find the clip. Ironically, the one good clip about Frank here is that he actually paid a bit of homage. He paid more homage to Sage Stallone in this interview than Sly did in that documentary, which is really weird.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope everyone enjoyed our breakdown of this Frank Stallone on the three round or whatever podcast. Good for these guys for getting Frank. I know Frank will never come on our show, but
I never say never.
I would love to interview him. What's funny, despite all the Mick and everything, I think you and I would actually have a fun time with him. And I think if he had a good sense of humor, he would come on and we could talk about his career and talk about his songs and talk about his hair. So anyways, that was it, guys. That was a bonus episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Is this going to be an actual... I don't know. I don't know if there's enough material out there. I will tease this. And then we'll close up. Frank Stallone has an official YouTube channel. I found it. He hasn't updated in a while.
Frank Stallone Guitar. It's not the Frank Stallone Guitars one, though.
It's Frank Stallone, his own YouTube channel. And on that channel... he has a documentary that he filmed before his official documentary, and it is something to behold. So I think that might be another bonus episode where we break down the unofficial Frank Stallone documentary, because there was one that was directed directed by Derek Wayne Johnson, a friend of our show, where it's called Stallone Frank, that is. He did an earlier version. And his mom's in it and everything. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, nice.
So I think that would be a fun one to review on another. Let us know if that's worth doing. Let us know in an email. Send us a what have you. Again, this will come out fairly soon. I want to get the news out that I am deploying for a few months. So the recording schedule might just be askew for a bit. Maybe not. So who knows? This is a bonus episode to tie over. The Ramble coverage will come back. We're all caught up on recent Frank stuff. So it might have more Ramble coverage on the next episode. So bear with us.
Maybe.
I'll
hold your breath.
Dom, with that, this episode's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off. It wasn't my podcast. You asked me, and they tried to rape her 50 fucking times.
That concludes another episode of Frank Stallone, Who Is This Guy?